This is Kinetic Podcasts, a podcast geared for those reaching kids for Christ. I'm your host, Josh Combs, and each episode we aim to inspire you and equip you, and most of all, energize your kidmen. Thank you so much for listening, and enjoy today's episode. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to all of our kids ministers out there, kids pastors and pastors for joining us and for hanging out with us this week. We greatly appreciate it. And before we get going with this episode, I want to give a shout out to one of our listeners, Judd Sanders, who is a children's pastor in Bellevue, Washington. He listens to Kinetic Podcast every month, and he sent us a very kind review. He says, "Kinetic Podcast has completely revamped our kids' church. It has challenged me not to get comfortable, but to continue to push forward and improve every facet of our kidmen. Josh and his guest perspectives are invaluable and give practical solutions to hurdles you thought were impossible to overcome." So, Judd, thank you for that comment. Thank you for listening. And if you enjoy Kinetic Podcast, you feel like this has benefited your kids' ministry and it has allowed you to be more effective, then please leave us a review. Go to iTunes. Go to Kinetic Podcast, leave us a review. We greatly appreciate it. Send us a review. You can, if you follow us on Instagram, send us a direct message, or on Facebook, or if you follow myself, please, anything you'd like to share with us, we would greatly appreciate it. And it really helps us get the word out about this podcast and continue to share this with your other kidmen peeps. If you're a kids pastor, share this with your volunteers, or share this with your fellow kids pastors, kids ministers. We want to just spread the word about what our guests have to offer and all of the awesome insights that they can give and to help us all be more effective. So thank you again for that feedback. Well, today's episode is all about developing volunteers, because we know as kids pastors, kids leaders, number one, if we have volunteers, we need to thank God for them, right? Volunteers are so valuable, and sometimes it can feel like a rarity to have a volunteer in our kids ministry. But we don't want to just stop there. We want to develop them, and we want them to become more effective, and we want to motivate them, and we don't want them to be stagnant. And so that's one of our jobs. That's one of our purposes as a leader, as a kids pastor, is to create a culture where they're motivated, they're appreciated, and we push them forward and we challenge them. And our guest speaker today has a lot of experience in that area. Diana Peters is the ministries director in Newport News, Virginia at the Peninsula Pentecostals, and she has a lot of experience of leading volunteers, developing volunteers. She oversees the ministries there as the ministries director, and she leads a lot of people every single week. And before that, she's been doing the ministries directing for about 3 years. Before that, she was a kids pastor for about 15, and so in this episode, we really pick her brain about how she develops volunteers, how she gets them a part of the team, training that they do week in and week out, and also the expectations. She has a very unique system of setting expectations and enforcing those expectations in a very relatable way, but also to a way that challenges their volunteers, and also to how she appreciates her volunteers. And so there's some great insights in this. Also in the show notes, you'll see a form that we've included from Diana, and this is something that she has her volunteers fill out every week of just certain expectations for them to meet, and then she uses that into a system of evaluating her volunteers, and she talks about all of that in this episode. So check out that form in the show notes, and hopefully that helps you. Well, we hope you enjoy this episode. I know I did. And it's a great tool for just developing your volunteers and allowing them to be more effective. So this is Diana Peters. Well, today's guest on Kinetic Podcast is Diana Peters. And Diana is from the Peninsula Pentecostals in Newport News, Virginia. She's been the ministries director there for the past 3 years, and before that served as the kids pastor for 15 years, and she has a lot of experience in training and developing volunteers, and it's so good to have her on the podcast today. Diana, thank you so much for being on Kinetic Podcast.
Hi, Josh. Thank you so much for asking. It's an honor.
Yeah, it's great. Great to have you. So give us a little bit of a background of your ministry and how you got into kids ministry and now directing ministries. Tell us a little about yourself and what's going on in Newport News, Virginia.
Okay. Well, I started in children's ministry. I, by trade, was a public school teacher, a middle school teacher. And so automatically I got recruited to work in children's ministry. And it wasn't long before I was asked to take over the children's ministry and kind of rebuild from the ground up. And so I was very fortunate that my pastor worked directly with me and trained me on exactly what he wanted to have happen. So we kind of built the children's ministry from the ground up and what he wanted in for that time frame. And I did that for about 15 years while teaching full-time. And then an opportunity came to come and work for the church full-time. So I've been at the church now for almost 10 years. But through the years, we've had many, many different children's ministry teams and many different challenges. But I feel like it has been such a great learning process, and we've been able to see God do some awesome things. About 3-4 years ago, I got moved to the ministries director, and now I'm helping all ministry leaders with their ministries and helping to develop teams and keeping volunteers, which is, as you know, a big challenge, keeping dedicated volunteers to help with ministry.
That's great. That's awesome. So our topic today, Diana, is all about developing our volunteers. And so obviously you have a lot of experience in working with volunteers, developing them, leading them. And we all know in any ministry, especially kids ministry, volunteers are very important. And we want to make sure that we not just have volunteers in our ministry, that we not just have warm bodies per se, but we want them to be engaged. We want them to be involved. So give us a little bit of your process. So for example, if someone were to come on board in the kids ministry, and they've been recruited, and I know we can do a whole podcast on recruiting and we can touch on that, but let's say we have a volunteer that's just started in the ministry, in the kids ministry. What's your process of kind of getting them on board and a part of the vision and culture of the kids ministry?
Well, one of the first things that we do, which I think is very critical, is we sit down and meet with them one-on-one, and we go over a job description with them. We have very detailed job descriptions that set very clear expectations for our staff, so they know what they're getting into. It's not just showing up on Sunday morning and being with the children, but we actually have a lot of expectations for them. And so we meet with them, and we go through the job description, and we explain what it means and what will be expected and the kind of commitment that we're really asking for if they decide to come on board with the children's ministry team. And we give them a chance to ask any questions, you know. And so then once they say, okay, they make that commitment, usually we let them go in and just kind of observe for a few weeks just to kind of get a feel of how things go, how we kind of run things, kind of get used to the kids, the culture of the kids that we have. And then we'll start breaking them in slowly. But I really think one of the key things is communicating your expectations up front so that you don't get people in there and they don't know, oh, I need to make, this is really a bigger commitment than what I thought. Being very clear about that up front, I think, is important. It just makes everything go so much better. And the job description actually has it written out exactly what you're wanting them to do. And that avoids frustration later on because we don't communicate expectations. We're expecting people to do things and they maybe don't know or it's not clear. And that can frustrate us and frustrate the process. So that's one thing that we do that I think has been very, very beneficial in bringing new people on. They know what they're getting into and then breaking them in slowly into the actual services or Kids Connection groups, which are our small groups that we have on Sunday mornings before we have our big worship service, has been a great help.
Yeah. And expectations are critical. It's very key to have clear expectations. Now, when you have a volunteer that comes into your ministry, do you kind of give them a trial period where you say, hey, you're going to be in, you know, we'll touch base in a month or so, or do you just kind of just kind of let them just kind of go in for the long haul? What's kind of your process there? Because I know us kids pastors, there's going to be times where maybe a volunteer comes in, and after a while, they feel like it's not a fit. So what's your process there of kind of easing them into the role?
Okay, well, one thing that we do at the front end is we're very, very selective and careful in who we allow in. And so we try to do a lot of, before we even invite them in, to try to see if they're good with kids. Because like you said, you don't want to get someone that's not a fit. And sometimes getting people out can be very touchy. So we do put a lot of thought and looking into their personality type. How do they handle kids before we ever even bring them in? And then what we do try to do is once we are bringing them in, we try to match them with the age of child or the setting that they would work best in. We have like our preschool, and then we have for our elementary age, we have two areas every Sunday. We have our kids connection groups, which are like a small group. And then we also have the exciting worship service, the second part of it. And so there's different personality types, different demeanors that fit better in those areas. And so we do try to put them where we think they will do best, but we don't always get it right. And so we are open to moving them or having them try somewhere else if it's not really going so well or it's not a good fit. We don't necessarily set up a trial period at the beginning, but we definitely are attentive and we'll make adjustments or rethink some things and maybe put them somewhere else where they would work better instead of letting it go bad where they're not happy and it's not good for the children. But we do really try to look at their personality. We look also at their service gifts to see where they would maybe be a good fit and what kind of things would they excel in. What are their strengths? And try to know kind of what their weaknesses are based on personality and what we know about them. And we try to work around that and put them in the best place possible based on those things. They really help us to kind of gauge a person and kind of know where they most likely would do well or not so well and then keep them out of those areas.
Yeah. Yeah. I know this is a little bit of a side topic, but since you touched on that, I just kind of want to get your input because, you know, all kids pastors, kids leaders, we've, you know, been in this situation where we have a volunteer that comes in and for one reason or another, and there could be multiple reasons, you know, they're just not a good fit. What have you found just, you know, just kind of general things of approaching that situation of maybe someone that they're not a good fit in this ministry, but maybe they would be in another ministry? What are some tips and practical things that you could share with our listeners of how to approach those, like you said, they're touchy situations. How do you approach those situations?
Well, sometimes I'll try to move them to a different area, maybe not working with kids, but maybe helping in behind the scenes or with setup or something like that. If they want to stay in the ministry, I try to remove them from the children and make it not as much of a situation. But another thing we have done is, like you mentioned, if there's another ministry that they would fit in, we oftentimes will suggest that to them and say, you know, we really appreciate this, but we think that probably you might excel or do better in another ministry, and we kind of connect them that way and give them an option to serve somewhere else that would be a better fit. And so we have done both things, just move them to a different area of children's ministry, like behind the scenes. And also we have moved them to another ministry. And that's a good way. If there's somewhere else you can put them and they can serve, that's a better fit for them. That's the best way, because then you don't lose someone that's willing to serve. They can still help the church, but you want it to be in an area where they're going to enjoy and it's going to help the church and not cause problems or situations that aren't pleasant. So, yes, moving them to another ministry is great, or just taking them away from the children, especially if that's just they're not working well with them, and having them do, if they're really administrative, maybe administrative things or behind the scenes things, staging, building things, setting up, taking down and things like that. But definitely removing them from the situation as quickly as you can, but as gently as you can too.
Yeah. No, I agree. And like you just said there, you know, there's times when that happens and they're not a good fit. And I always, it's always better to, you know, do it sooner than later, because that situation can start to deteriorate. And again, it's, you know, it's all about the kids. You want there to be a quality ministry for the kids. And I like what you said, do it gently, do it with love. And if there's a place for them, another place that they can serve, you know, direct them in that area. So that's good. That's some good practical advice.
Yeah. And really expressing your appreciation for their willingness to serve, you know, because we appreciate that. Sometimes we wish people would serve and they don't want to, but yes, getting them in the right place is definitely where we want them to be.
So going back to incorporating the culture and vision and training our volunteers, I know that you approach it with a team building mindset, which I'm a big believer in as well, as far as getting the volunteers to be a part of a team. So we have a volunteer that's come on board, and now you want to incorporate team building and working with a team. Tell us a little bit about that and your philosophy on getting them involved as a team.
Well, I think working with a team and building a team is very, very critical. You can always do more with a team than you can by yourself. And building unity and support amongst your team is key. And so a lot of times, even at like our trainings that we have, our formal trainings where we come together, especially if I have new people, I would try to incorporate some team building activities into those trainings, things that get them to work together and to appreciate one another, because they have to feel the support. And something with team is that it's not, you know, there's everybody is important. Nobody is more important than anyone else. We need everybody for this team to function. And so, you know, if one of our team members wins, we all win. And if one of our team members loses, we are all losing. And so kind of creating that mindset is really, really important. It's not a competition. We need to rejoice and support one another. When someone does a great job, we need to let them know that. It's not, like I said, it's not a competition. And that's really big to keep and monitor and make sure that it's not about who does the best or who's more talented, because God can use anybody at any time. And I think that when you keep the burden before the people, I think that this is really key, the burden and the purpose. And you remind them why we do this and the importance of what they do. And when you start seeing those results and you start seeing kids pray through to the Holy Ghost and you start seeing kids baptized, it brings a unity and it brings a positive motivation that's greater than, like, I think anything else that could actually bring that. And so keeping them focused on, we're all here to see children pray through to the Holy Ghost. We're all here to help children experience Jesus. And the way you talk about that and you keep that before them, it makes them feel a part of something, but you all have the same goal in mind. And it really helps, because we're working. And when something happens good in one class or one area, we all rejoice in bringing that up before everybody and celebrating that. Those are things that really help build a team. It didn't happen in my class yet, but, you know, it happened in her class, and it can happen in mine, and we're going to rejoice with her. And those kind of things, just setting that tone and that atmosphere with your volunteers always and keeping them focused on the same thing will do a lot for building unity on a team. And they have a purpose that they're united together to do. And then celebrating when those things happen, when the things that you're trying to have happen and that you want to see happen, celebrating is big. Rejoicing together is great, and it builds great unity, great team spirit, and great support for one another too, which you need that. Ministering to children, it's not always easy. It can be challenging at times. And so that knowing you have that support of your team is really, really beneficial.
Yeah, I love that. And so how do you communicate those wins with your team members, you know? So if something happens in one class, you know, is there a certain way that you do that? Are you doing that when they're meeting all together? Do you do it through text or social media? What are some ways that we can communicate the wins with all of our team members on a regular basis?
Well, there's a couple of things. One thing we do is all of our teachers tag in on Sunday mornings. They tag in for about 15 minutes, no matter what area of children's ministry you work in. They all tag in at 9:30, and we start at 10. And so that's a time when we have everybody, and we will talk about things then and bring up things that have happened and celebrate. But we also do group text messages as well as emails. We'll do group emails, like, you know, you can send the stationery, like, with celebration things. And so just talking about it and through email, text, and definitely in the meeting when everybody is there, we do that in person. But we don't just do that. You can definitely use text messages now, emails, and yes, definitely social media is a great way to do that. We don't have a great social media thing going right now. We're working on getting a person, but that is a great avenue if you have somebody that's keeping up with that. It's a great, great way to promote what's happening, to celebrate, and it definitely brings a momentum to your ministry.
Yeah, and I love the tagging that you guys do. So you guys do that every Sunday morning, 9:30, and that's with all of the kids' ministry leaders. How long does that usually go, and what's talked about in that time?
Okay, it's supposed to be 15 minutes. Try to keep it 15, but you know how it is sometimes. Sometimes it goes to 20, but they have to be able to receive children because we start at 10. So 15 minutes is what it's supposed to be. One thing that we do in that meeting that's critical, and this also goes has to do with developing your volunteers and expectations and inspecting. We have a form that monitors what they did during the week. We've said about 5 things that we say, you know, if we're going to be successful in children's ministry, this is what we need you to do each week. We need you to spend at least an hour preparing for Sunday. We need you to pray daily for the children. We need you to be on time to this tag-in meeting so you don't miss information. Our church has a monthly prayer meeting where everybody comes together on a Friday night. We feel it's important for them to attend that. So we have these things listed on a paper. We call it Navigating to Excellence because we're water-based, you know, Kid Splash. And they actually fill out this form in the tag-in whether they did these things or not each week. And then those are actually scored later on. But that's one of the things that they do while we're in the meeting addressing things with them. We also go over things that are up and coming. We talk about victory reports, any issues or concerns that we have. It's also a time to keep, like I said, the burden and the purpose before them. It's a great time to express appreciation to them. Sometimes we do appreciation things in the morning. We just finished appreciation month. January was for our whole Kid Splash, and every week we did something for them and celebrated them at night in the service, as well as in the morning. We had breakfast and small tokens with things that just to encourage them and thank them for all that they do. So we use that for that. We celebrate their birthdays, like for the month, one Sunday a month. Everyone that has a birthday, we celebrate that with them. And it's just and then we, of course, close in prayer. That's how we end our meeting before we go out to our areas for Sunday morning. But it's a great time to come together and to be encouraged and to be reminded of our vision, as well as we're holding them accountable to the things that we want them to do to be successful and to be able to have a successful Sunday. There are things that you have to do in the week. You can't just show up and have a successful Sunday. And so that's kind of our inspection time too. They fill out that sheet during that time. But and you can do a lot of different things with it. You can even do mini trainings, not long trainings, but you can share something. Sometimes we'll talk a little bit about topic and talk about a little portion of it, say, each week for the month. And so it's really, really wide open what you can do with it. And kind of you want to base it on where your team is and what the needs of your team are. There's sometimes where we have to spend more time reminding them of the burden and the purpose, because if morale gets low or they get tired and you haven't experienced a lot of wins, you know, keeping the burden before them and finding things to celebrate, even if it's not your end goal, finding things to celebrate along the way makes them really feel validated and what they're doing is making a difference, which is key to keeping happy volunteers and volunteers that are joyful and can do what they need to do effectively.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's that, Diana, you just gave us some awesome tools to use. Would there be any way after this, would you be able to send us that form and that we could have that in the show notes, or even if it's not the exact form, something like it?
Yeah, that shouldn't be a problem.
Okay, great. So we'll include that in the show notes, because I love that. And my mind's just, you know, because to let you know what we do in our kids ministry, we do have tag-ins, but it is for each classroom. So there's a tag-in going on in the preschool, tag-in in the elementary. But I love this idea of getting everyone together as one team and kind of sharing that vision with everyone.
Can do.
So that's great.
Which we've done a couple times is like maybe 1 week out of the month, we'll let our wee kids or our preschool go and do their own. But we try not to do too many of them. We try to have at least one where we have everybody, and we've kind of gone back to having everybody. We did do breakouts for a little bit, but we found people were missing information. But you can alternate it too, you know, do some weeks where they're individual and then some weeks where everyone comes together. And concerning the form, one thing we do is we look at it every year and we update too, to see what do we really need to focus on? What's an area of weakness that we need to put concentrated effort on doing better this year? And so some of the things stay the same, but you can update it every year to kind of match where your people are, you know, because it changes. People don't stay the same and you go through different seasons. And so it's nice to have the flexibility to be able to adjust that form to where your people are so that you can help them move from where they are to where you want them to end up at.
Yeah, I love that. So it's really matching the vision and the current season of your kids' ministry. So that's great. That's awesome. And then tell us a little bit about, so you get the forms, and then you said that you tally up a score. How does that work?
Well, each week, it's out of 100 points. We make, normally we have about 5 things, so it's about 20 points each. Or sometimes we'll have 6 or 7. And then they're either 10 points or 20 points. We kind of weight the value of what it is that we're asking them to do. And so each week they get a total score out of 100 based on how many they did. And then they get a monthly average. And we have to turn that in to our pastor. He likes to see how our children's ministry team is doing, as well as they find out their score for how they did, what their average is. And our goal is for them to always be 80% or higher. That does not always happen, but that is our goal. We feel like we really need you to try to perform at 80% or more. And then what we do at the end of the year, we actually average those all together for the year. And in addition to that, we actually do an evaluation form, about 5 or 6 pages, where they evaluate themselves. And then our children's ministry director evaluates them. And then either myself as the ministry's director now, or our pastor will evaluate them. And so we look at their score from the form as well as their evaluation scores. And we actually honor our top teachers of the year based on that data. And so it plays into the overall evaluation, as well as it's a good gauge as to where they are at on a weekly and monthly basis. And so it's been very, very helpful in measuring and kind of knowing where people are. And also you can see what they're not doing. And so you can meet with them one-on-one and say, hey, I noticed that, you know, you haven't been able to do this, or this hasn't been being done. And you explain the importance and kind of find out, you know, what's causing them not to do it, and try to help them to be able to do better. And so it's a great, great tool to see where your people are, and to use it to help get them to the next level. It's a great way to measure, and measuring is key. You've got to know where your people are, as well as many other stats in children's ministry. Like, you want to measure things, and so it's a great way to measure where your team is, as well as to use it to celebrate and award top performers.
Yeah, and it really sets forth those expectations that you have, you know, kind of enforces those expectations that you have for the kids ministry and how important it is to be in kids ministry. So that's great. I love that. So tell us a little bit about volunteer appreciation, because, you know, it's important to appreciate our volunteers. It's important to show them. And I know you said you just had Appreciation Month, which is great. So what are some practical things? And obviously, you know, every church is different, and there's going to be some kids ministries that maybe they have a budget, and they don't have a budget, or they have a small budget. What are some you know, practical ways, no matter where you are, you know, in your kids' ministry and as a kids' pastor, to appreciate your volunteers and to show them appreciation?
Well, you know, there's a lot of things you can do, and they don't all cost money. And that's the good thing. Even the little things or that people might think are little mean a lot to people. Verbally expressing it is key throughout the year. Promoting it in front of your church, whether if you have PowerPoints or video announcements, just saying a great thank you to your people. Putting them before the church brings value to what they do and appreciation. Even writing cards and kind of learning people's love languages. I know some people you can know easily, others you may not, but trying to hit all those different love languages will give you a great, you're likely to hit more people if you hit those different things. So even like writing thank you cards or we appreciate you, some people that like rocks their world. I've had volunteers tell me, I still have all the cards that you wrote me and I read them and it encourages me. Now that might not work for everybody, but there's some people that means so much too. Even things like bringing them breakfast in is great. You know, they're rushing on Sunday morning, and the fact that, you know, you can just say, hey, we appreciate you, and have, a continental breakfast for them or a hot breakfast if you have people that can do that. And we use our parents. Our parents they provided willingly the breakfast every morning for our staff. So it didn't cost our ministry any money. We had some parents that wanted to coordinate and they asked other parents, and it wasn't a lot for anybody, but it didn't have to come out of our account. Even things like sometimes we'll do through the year little candy bars, like 100 grand, and we'll say on there, you're worth 100 grand to us or to our children. And so little things that aren't like, we're not sending you on a trip. We wish we could, but little things that are just thoughtful that let people know, hey, I appreciate you. We try to do things like that throughout the year. Celebrating their birthdays, that's a thing too, because it lets them know you value them. Even if you just bring in cupcakes or you bring in breakfast, things like that go a long way with your staff. When we do an appreciation month, we take a whole month out of the year and we focus specifically on them. We generally would do something every week, like breakfast or small tokens of appreciation, like the candy bars, or sometimes it'll be a bookmark that has a saying on it. And then at night, we honor them in front of people. We recognize them. We do give them certificates, like a certificate with a certificate jacket, thanking them for their service for the year. We also do special awards, and it kind of depends on where our people are. Some years we don't have a lot of doesn't look like we have a lot of great achievements or great numbers, but we just honored two of our teachers that had perfect attendance for the whole year. They didn't miss a single Sunday of 2017, which is tremendous. And so we honored that. And so we'll kind of find things that we've done most improved from teachers that have really grown from one year to the next. We'll honor that. And it doesn't really cost us very much money, but it's that public recognition. And we will usually do some type of certificate because they can keep that and put that, on their wall or put it in their portfolio, different things. It's just something to, hey, I did this, a reminder to them. So there's really, the sky is the limit, and it doesn't always have to take money. Something else that we have found that motivates volunteers, and now this probably does take money, but that is sending them to a workshop or a conference. It really brings about a motivation. It brings validity to what they do. They get around other people that are doing the same thing, and you also give them tools and you equip them to do better at what they're doing. And that's a win-win for them too. And so not them having to pay, but you sending them or taking them is a great way to show appreciation. You're investing in them, and that goes a long ways with them. So yeah, really the sky's the limit, and it's just your thoughtfulness that means so much. and knowing your people and what do they like. You know, even bringing a Starbucks to somebody one morning, a Starbucks drink can really like brighten their day and make them feel good, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And it's really the little things that matter too, you know. And obviously if you can do things like that, like the breakfast and bigger things, that's awesome. But don't forget about the little things, the thank you cards.
Right.
I love to do like a $5 gift card to Dunkin' Donuts or something like that. People really appreciate that. So those are great ways to create a culture of appreciation and letting them know they're valued. And that in turn, you know, that's going to really just motivate them and to be better at what they do, which will, you know, make your kids' ministry more effective.
And one other thing too, that about appreciation is to really make it personal to your people. Like, there are some general things that you do, but if you can just find something for each person at some point through the year where you make it personal for them, that is huge in their life. They know that it's not just general. I'm not just a one out of 50, you know, but it's actually personal to them. And writing, like I would try to write in my card something about them that I really appreciated or noticed, you know. And that lets them know you're seeing what they're doing and you're aware of where they are.
Well, this has been awesome, Diana. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and some great practical advice. Would there be just kind of a last word you'd like to give to our kids pastors, kids leaders, just kind of word of encouragement or anything else you want to share in developing their volunteers?
You can do it. Be creative. Pray. Ask God to help you what to do with your team. But just set expectations and set high expectations, because what you do is so critical. It is life or death for these children. And so don't ever sell yourself short by not expecting enough out of your volunteers. They will rise to the level that you set. And don't be bashful about setting high expectations. Don't be bashful about asking for a commitment. These children are worth it. They deserve to have people that are going to pour into them and that are going to really take seriously this this ministry. And we need good, dedicated workers. And so don't feel bad asking, and celebrate, and just have fun doing it with them, because it's an awesome, awesome ministry with awesome results. Seeing children get the Holy Ghost, seeing them want to live for God, praying, there's just nothing like it. And so thank you for everything that you guys do. I know it's a lot of work, but it is worth it, and you will be rewarded one day for all of your work.
Awesome. Well, Diana, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I know I got a lot out of it. I was blessed, and I can't wait to implement some of these things in our kids' ministry. And I know others will benefit from this as well. Thank you so much for being on the episode today.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for asking. It's my pleasure.
And thank you for all of our listeners, again, for listening and being with us. We hope this encouraged you, inspired you, and most of all, we hope it energizes your kidmen. Until next time, God bless.